so beautiful out there. God is good all the time. Before I began my second session, I just failed to say this at my first one. One of the books, after I started learning about seeking the blessing, one of the best books that I read on the subject was The Family Blessing. And so you can probably find that online. It was just a really good foundational book about speaking the blessing. And also has quite a few different blessings you can speak over your children. This one was one I came across just a few years ago, and A Father's Guide to Blessing His Children. And that also comes with blessings that you can speak over your children. There's several little cards in there with blessings. And if you didn't get a handout from last session, there's still some extra ones here. Plus, these little cards are just something I didn't know where to have gotten them. I had a couple of markers in my Bible, different ones. And I went online and found out I could get them. So you're welcome to take one of these. They'll be up here. And it's speaking spiritual blessings or praying biblical virtues for your children, which is always very good. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Okay, now we're going to move on to habits. And you know, I kind of felt, even in preparing for this, that you guys are on a retreat. And so hopefully you're just taking time to retreat and feel rested and reinvigorated for going back to work on Tuesday. I guess you guys get to stay home Monday and off on Monday. Don't you? Very cool. So, you know, we know that God is our helper. We know where our help comes from. And even as I share, I never want to speak and put a burden on anybody. I don't want you to go away thinking, oh, I haven't spoken a blessing over my children. Oh, I used wrong words. Oh, there's no hope for me. I can't do this. Please, please, don't pick up that message. If you pick up anything, God is our light. He's our salvation. He, by His grace, we raise our children. It's only by His grace that we can do anything at all. He is the vine. We are the branches. And so I even thought, like I said, as I was preparing, that I never want to make it seem like law, that we're under law, because Jesus came and gave us grace. And so even as I speak, if it starts feeling really heavy on us, like, oh my goodness, I don't have that habit, and I do this, and I don't do that, I am just going to stop, and I'm going to read one of the things that Jesus came to do for us, so that we can remember it's by His grace, okay? I never want to get legalistic about this. I never want to have a lot of rules and regulations. It's by grace. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to talk about habits. Everyday behavior is based on habits. We are what we repeatedly do. First we form a habit, and then they form us. Listen to this little story. First off, though, I'm going to start with a key truth. Successful people develop better habits. You can't keep doing the same things you have been doing and expect to get different results. And you might be saying, well, what are the habits have to do with raising my children, with running my family? They have everything to do with your family, with raising your children. And I think those are your connections as we talk. First, a story. Old Cherokee Tale tells of a grandfather teaching life principles to his grandson. The wise old Cherokee said, "Son, on the inside of every person is a battle raging between two wolves. One wolf is evil, is angry, jealous, unforgiving, proud, and lazy. The other wolf is good. It's filled with love, kindness, humility, and self-control. These two wolves are constantly fighting," the grandfather said. The little boy thought about it and said, "Grandfather, which wolf is going to win?" The grandfather smiled and said, "Whichever one you feed. Whichever one you feed." What are you feeding? What kind of habits are you feeding? The good kind that are going to further you on to the destiny that God has for you? The good kind that models good things for our kids? Or are we getting in habits that we just do repeatedly without really even consciously thinking about it? Or giving it much effort because we had, it's just something we've always done. How many of you have some habits? Yeah. I think we all have some habits. Yeah, some good ones. Yeah, share some good ones. Some good habits you have. Anybody?
Coffee every morning.
Coffee every morning. That's my habit too. Although I have to tell you, when I took this new job, it was about 5 years ago, I don't know if it was a stress or what, but I started stopping at the lodging again. I've never done that before in all my 20 years of working. But I started doing that and I liked it. And I just started to, until I started adding up how much it was probably costing me a month to stop at the latte stand every day. So I've given up that habit. I still like to stop by once a week and get my latte, maybe twice. I do have that habit. Another habit I have started is flossing my teeth. I never liked to do that. I mean, I just didn't think it was that important. It took too much time. I didn't need to do that. And a couple of years back, when I was at the dentist and the hygienist did my teeth clean, she said, oh, you need to floss a little bit. Okay, they say that all the time. I never. But this time, something clicked. Something was different. And I thought, I can do that. I can floss my teeth. So I started. I set my mind, and I was going to floss my teeth. I bought floss, I bought the little brush kind of things, I bought different kinds, but my teeth are so close together, it's hard to floss, so that was one of the reasons. But you know what? I floss now every time I brush my teeth, and I would never think about not flossing. It's a habit. I don't even think about it now. That's what happens. We form habits, and then they form us, and then we don't even have to think about what we're doing. So today, because habits get us places, like talked about, our words are like airplanes and go places. Our habits get us places. Our habits will enhance our life and get us to be all that God wants us to be. Or they really just keep us in the keep on, keeping on, doing what we do mode, and really not becoming all that God wants us to be. So I thought I'd like to look at 5 habits specifically today. But first off, I just want to tell you that we're not the only ones that have habits. Real Life, Real Simple magazine asked its readers what habits they would like to break. And there was a list so long, they didn't list them all. But here were some of their readers' habits that they wanted to break. Cell phone addictions. My daughter just went to camp with, she's a counselor for junior hires in the Young Life Ministry, and so she went to camp with them, and they get to take their phones on the bus, but then they have to check them, put them in a basket when they start getting camp, and then they get them back when they get back on the bus. She said, oh my gosh, Mom, some of those phones were like you were taking a child's arm away from them. It was like you were taking an extension of themselves away. They could just So it's definitely a habit with most of our children is cell phone addictions. They can hardly give it up. Never finishing projects. None of us are like that. Nail biting, shopping as entertainment, cluttering, self-criticizing, watching too much television, driving too fast, hitting the snooze button. The list was huge. And those are things that we do repeatedly without really thinking about the difference they make in our life. And some of those, they aren't huge. They're not going to make a lot of difference. But there are some habits that are pretty key to our life here on earth and also to our family life here on earth together. So watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Your habits become your character, and your character becomes your destiny. watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And your character becomes your destiny. Where did we start? We started with thoughts. And we got all the way to our destiny. And we're going to address thoughts. Because everyday behavior is based on habits. That means how we treat people, how we spend our money, what we watch, what we listen to. Our habits will take us into the future that our habits are worthy of. Think of this statement. Most times, it's not the big events in life or the big breaks that get us where we need to be. Living a life that's pleasing to God and blessing to others. It's the little things, the daily disciplines or habits that move us forward in good things, in the good things that God has for us. How many of you would agree with that? Yeah, it's not the big, whoa, wow, open door, thing that's going to propel us to our destiny. It's those small, daily habits, disciplines, whatever you want to call them, that get us to that good place. So, with that in mind, and where our destiny, so we're talking about these habits that are affecting our life, but be assured they're also affecting your children and the life that you are living with them in your household. I want you to think, just watch in your own mind, excuse me, that lunch was very good, by the way. And thank you for being so kind and just welcoming me into your midst. I tell you, you're just a very kind group. I want you to think of two habits that you have that you hope your children will have too. Two habits that you just, off the top of your head, know that you have, and you hope that your children will have those habits too. Now think of two habits you don't like this to have. Yes. Yeah. My grandson will be there before I know it. I'm thinking, oh, Lord. And my littlest one, grandchild, he's three, loves cars. He loves the car movie and the car book. And, you know, they're always racing and they're always crashing. I'm thinking, Lord, don't have any imprint on his brain. Not racing cars. Okay, so the first habit we're going to start with is the God habit. How many of you have the God habit or would like to have the God habit? That is starting your day, or whether your day starts late or whatever, but taking time to be with God during the day. Probably most of you would want that if you don't already have it, and probably many of you have it. I'm not going to say anything you probably don't know in this session, but if you're like me, we need to be reminded of it. I mean, my goodness, if we're not taking the God habit and asking for his help and his wisdom in our families, he's the one who's designed them. He's the one that's given us the children that he's given us. He's the one that has formed them and made them the children that they are and given them you as their parents. And, you know, we can try our best on our own to do it well. And we can exert so much energy and so much work, and the Holy Spirit is, will just stand back and say, just have at it until you're ready to see what I'm going to do. Because he can do it with much greater ease than we can do it with all our power. We can. So it's important that we start every day asking God for his strength, for his guidance for our day. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom, and he will add all the other things that you need. If our days, I've been every which way on this. I mean, I've always known I want God time, and I need to spend God You know, there were times when I would do everything, I knew I wanted that, but I would do everything first, and then if there was time, I would give that time to God. And I remember one day, I was at home cleaning, I was probably working part-time then, but I was home and I wanted to get this done and that done, and then I would spend time with the Lord. Then I would sit down and read my Bible. And one of the last things I wanted to do was vacuum, but I kept adding the little things. Finally got to the vacuuming, plugged it in, and thought, when I'm done here, the power went out. I'm thinking, okay, God, I'm stopping. I'm going to not have one more excuse or one more thing to do before I take that time with you. There is nothing more valuable, no matter how busy your days are. Start them with God. And you know, once that becomes habit, now, again, it's like flossing my teeth. I don't even think about it. I have a chair that, you know, I do certain things in the morning. I have my habits that I do. But at one point, I get my coffee early on, and I sit in a chair that has my Bibles and my books and my devotionals right there. And I know that's where I start the day with the Lord. And It's so good. And I know many of you here have a habit of doing that. You probably have a favorite spot. Maybe your Bible's next to your bedstand, or on your bedstand, and you, first thing in the morning, before you get out of bed, have time with the Lord. You know, it can be as simple as I was reading a gal's book, a well-known Christian, and she said she always desired God time, but her life, she's famous, it's very, very busy. And so she would say, you know, I would just get out of bed and the day would just get started before I even put my feet on the ground. And she said, finally, one day God just stopped me and said, you know, my time with me can be as easy as just greeting me in the morning. And so she's a person who loves outside. So she says she has gotten in this habit. No matter what, when she gets up, the first thing she does is step outside and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And just lifts up her hands to God. And she said that sometimes is as much as it gets before the day is just running. But she at least has that time to acknowledge, yes, Lord, this is your day, and I'm going to rejoice in it, and I'm going to give you praise. And she said one day, and she has made it happen, so it usually happens, but one day her 7-year-old daughter hadn't seen her do it. And the daughter, when they got in the car to go to school, she said, Mom, we didn't say hi to God this morning. You know, so again, our kids are modeling for them. They're picking up what we're doing, what our habits are. And that little 7-year-old had seen her mom greet the day and greet God and give him the day. And she wanted to do that when they didn't. My daughter started blessing her children early on when they went to school. And, you know, if they get out of the car now without that blessing, they'll say, Mom, we forgot. So even blessing our children can become a habit, a powerful habit at that. So sometimes we have to set our mind. The Bible says, set your mind on those things that are above. It says, in the morning, O Lord, your heart my voice, in the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. God will give us, and we're going to talk about this more tomorrow, but he wants to give us wisdom to raise our children. And if we're, you know, so busy that we never take time to spend with him to hear that wisdom, how sad is that? Because we can help our children along the course that God has for them if we're listening to his wisdom on how to encourage them, how to train them, how to instruct them. But we need to take time. Joseph took time to be with the Lord. He says everything he touched was successful. Wouldn't you love for everything you touch to be successful? And God wants us to be successful. He wants to help us. Wisdom can flow through us in our decision and our decision-making ability. He can flow through that. You know, Martha and Mary, you all know that story. And I tend to be a Martha more. And as Martha and Mary, Jesus came to their home, Martha was busy preparing. caring and perplexed and anxious about a lot of things. And Mary, what did she do? She sat at the feet of Jesus. And Martha comes in and says to Jesus, Lord, don't you see? I am busy. I am working. And Martha is just sitting. She's not helping me. Can you tell her to help me? And what does Jesus say to her? He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and anxious over many things. But I tell you, Mary has chosen the finer thing, the better thing. I can get so busy thinking everything I do is so important. And it really is not. It is not the higher, better thing. Time with God. It doesn't get better than that. It doesn't get better than time spent with Him. He wants a personal relationship with us. He doesn't want a religion. He's not about the do's and don'ts, telling you, you need to do this, you need to do that. No. He wants a personal relationship. I think it's time. I'm getting pretty serious here, and I can do that. Okay, I'm going to read a grace thing. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Simply put, Jesus saves us. None of our good works, none of our good habits are going to save us. Jesus saves us. He rescues from an eternity without the light of God's presence. He also saves our souls from loneliness, our spirits from heaviness, our minds from guilt and anxiety, and one day He will rescue our bodies from the decay of the world. We owe our entire lives to our great Savior and Rescuer. Yay, amen. He's our Rescuer. And He wants that personal relationship. He wants that time spent with you. And your kids will see this. They'll see this. They'll see the presence of the Lord around about you. Because as you go, I was at a campfire last night, and I didn't want to wash my hair this morning. And so I said to my husband, I said, do my hair still smell? Because it's going to smell, you know. And I love that smell, but in the right place. And I didn't want to come with it today. But that's what happens when we sit around the campfire. We go away from the campfire smelling like campfire. When we spend time sitting with Jesus, we go away with the aroma of our Lord. And our kids smell. See it, smell it. And when they see that, it always brings good results into our life. They are more apt to choose that for their own life. But again, if they see all our faith is all about rules and regulations and legalism, they're going to go, they're not going to want that. That's, you know, if they're in a different culture than we grew up in, and there's so much out there that is not good and offered to them so lightly, and the morals that we want to pass on, the godly principles, we're going to need God's grace and wisdom to do that. We're not going to be able to do it in our own strength. They won't accept that. It's going to have to be by the Spirit of God. Don't you believe that? And we're not going to be able to behavior modification now. Not in this world. I don't think so. The more you focus on beholding Jesus in all His loveliness, and the less you will struggle to overcome your weaknesses by your own merits. When we look to ourselves, all there is to see is inadequacy and futility in our ability and performance. But the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we become like Him. We're transformed from glory to glory. He will be our glory and the lifter of our head, even as we raise our children. He will be our glory and the lifter of our heads. And you know what? He's got a destiny so good for each one of you. And He wants to speak that into your hearts and lives. But we need to be spending time with Him. And I think of, I have this book that talks about the hymns and the stories behind how they were written. And so many of them always amaze me that they were listening. Those people that He gave songs to, they were listening. They made the habit of having God time and spending time with Him and hearing His voice. And I just read the story of Anne Hawkins, and she wrote the I Need Thee Every Hour. And she said she was just going about her house, doing her housework. And She said the curtain moved at the window, it was open, it was a beautiful day, and a breeze came in and moved the curtain. And she said, for some reason, it was just like I thought, oh, Jesus, I love you. And right following those words, God gave her this melody, the words to a melody that said, I need thee every hour. Most of us have sang that song, it's beautiful. And the Spirit, it took no effort on her part. It just was there. And so many hymn writers say that same thing. I didn't sweat it. I didn't sit at my desk. No, the words were there. They just came. All I had to do was write them down. And that's what he wants to do in our life. He wants to write down our destiny. He wants to put it down. If we will just open our ears and spend that time with him to listen. So the God habit. Such an important place. The beginning place of all good habits. It's an excellent habit, and it will help us be excellent people. The next habit we're going to talk about is, be still and know that I'm God. That's a great verse. Be still and know that I'm God. And then, we're going to talk about our thoughts. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. God tells us what to think on. I don't know if you're like me, but again, speaking about the blessing and how I was Christian several years before I learned the power of my words and the power of speaking the blessing. I was Christian many years before I realized the power of our thoughts. We think over 70,000 thoughts a day. I'm calling this habit on purpose thinking. When's the last time you thought about what you're thinking about? On purpose. I just had no idea that I could bring sadness to my being by thinking sad. I mean, you know, we kind of think so, but, you know, if you're going to think all kinds of melancholy, sad thoughts, that I make myself sad or I can make myself happy. But I never really gave it a lot of purposeful thinking about what I was thinking about. And our thoughts can become patterns. And I don't know, what is her name? Carolyn Leaf, if any of you have ever heard of her, she's a Christian scientist, a brain scientist, and she will say our thoughts can really become habits. They have little connecting points, and we can like wear a path in our brain, thinking certain things, because we do it so often. And there's even, and I'm not going to go there because I can't quote her exactly, but there's even a difference in the path of good thoughts and bad thoughts. There's a difference in our brain. Right? The path is not a good one. It has all kinds of junky stuff on the path that is negative thoughts. And the good thoughts have a whole different, a life-giving look to them when you look in, you know, under the microscope. So there's so much that we don't understand about our thoughts, and what I don't understand about our thoughts. But God knew that this kind of thinking would be good kind of thinking, and it would make our life much better than thinking negative thoughts. And a lot of our thoughts come from maybe when we were growing up. I mean, we have tendencies. Some people are, you know, they get up in the morning and they're jolly and happy, and their personality is just an upbeat personality. But that is not the norm. That is not the norm. The natural tendency for the human being is to go negative. Have you ever saw that in yourselves? Where, you know, you can go one way or the other and you tend to think the negative. I grew up in a home where mom worried a lot. She thought that that was one way of being a good mom, is if she worried about her kids and she worried about her husband, and she always worried. And she would just worry herself into a fret and start crying. And, you know, none of it was happening. It didn't happen, thank you, Lord. But she had, it was like it had, because she went there so much in her mind. And really, she's 93 now. She's just a sharp lady, and I love her dearly. But as I've learned this, and my sisters have learned this, we've tried to help her, and it's very hard at 93. Those paths have been made there, and as much as she doesn't want to worry, it's very hard for her to break that habit. So as we're younger, and we can change those habits easier, I want you to think on purpose what you're thinking about. Am I thinking uplifting thoughts? Am I thinking noble thoughts? Am I thinking God thoughts? You know, God says in his word, his thoughts are not our thoughts. He has much higher thoughts. So as we spend time with God and we get transformed from glory to glory little by little, and we start knowing his word, and his word starts going over in some of, and over in our thoughts, some of that negative stuff will be disappearing, will be changing. Success in every aspect of life begins with a thought. So does failure. I did not know this, and in my young life, in my early married life, you know, I thought things, and if I thought it, I thought it was true, because I thought it. Never did I really realize that that was my perspective. And because it was my perspective, it seemed true. But did it match up with God's word? Did it really match up with what was happening? Or was that through my lens, my perspective? So I really purposely tried to change those thoughts, and my goodness, it is so freeing. It has made such a difference in my life. I don't think I would be here sharing with you if I hadn't learned this and tried to do better in the way I think, in self-confidence, in security, in the way I think about God's word, and the way it has transformed my life. And it will transform your family life, because you'll be, as you think more God's thoughts, he'll really put you in a good place. In a good place. And when the enemy comes to you and says, you can't do that, you've never been able to do that, or your children will never succeed at that, you can stop him. You can say, I'm a child of the Most High God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. You know, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He wants to tell us all the things that we can't do, you need to do, all the things our culture would like us to think are true, and they're so fleeting and so untrue, that we're going to need to check and see what we're thinking. On the higher things. Set your mind in the right direction. On God, on who God says you are. Set your mind on what God says his will is for your life. We know he has a plan and purpose, and it is for good. It is not for evil. His word says that. So when we feel like there's nothing good going on in our life, we can come against that thought and say, that's not true. God has a plan for my life, and it is good. And by the grace of God, I can do all things through him and in him. Learning to think great thoughts on purpose is the key to having a great life. We have a lot of roaming time. You know, you're vacuuming the floor, you're brushing your teeth, you're getting dressed. What's going through your mind? Are they God kind of thoughts? Who am I going to bless today, God? What words, what encouraging words do you want to speak through me today, Lord? How do you want to use my hands to bless others? And keep our thoughts going in the right direction. And it is so easy. It is so easy not to believe right things. We had a little gal live with us for a while that had anorexia. She was anorexic. She was a friend of my daughter's. And it amazed me the things that she would say went through her mind. She was fat. Nobody cared for her. Nobody loved her. And all those things played over and over in her mind. And even when she was in the clinic, I remember going and visiting her, and the mirrors on the walls were all distorted. And they said that was for the purpose of showing them how distorted their thoughts were. But somewhere she let those thoughts come in and convince her that that was reality. You can be 100 pounds, but you're still heavy. That's a lie. And she needed to tell herself it was a lie. But she thought she had no power over her thoughts. She just accepted that. She just thought that that was reality. No, every thought we think is not reality. It's not true. If it doesn't line up with God's word, don't buy it. The way we think is far more powerful than we often realize, and our thoughts impact every aspect of our existence, either positively or negatively. Our thoughts really say, you know, especially when we're in the family and family life and dealing with our children, and you're thinking thoughts about your children, you're thinking thoughts about your spouse, you're thinking thoughts about you, and if they're negative, what do you think is going to come out? More negativeness. On the other hand, if we're thinking positive, I can do this through Christ. Yes, God, you will give me the strength. You will give me the wisdom. You'll give me the light for the way. And what do you think comes out? I'm trusting God. You know, I was, the grandkids were over, the three older ones were over and spent the first part of last week with me, and we had such a good time. And so Tuesday, my husband went to work. He's retired, but he has this one day a week job. And so he was at work, and I was going to take the kids home that day. And we were getting ready, and we had a really good time. And I was in the bathroom with the one combing her hair, and all of a sudden we heard this big boom, you know. And I knew they had been working on the street, and I didn't know, you know, if it was outside or what had happened. So we all came running, the older boy and the girl that was with me in the bathroom combing her hair, and there on the floor was my 7-year-old granddaughter, just crumbled up. And the slider door had been open and we had a dent. And she'd been going in and out, but because we were almost ready to leave the house, I had shut it. And she had just come up from downstairs and just ran right like she was going to go out onto the deck. And she went right into that slider that was closed. And oh my gosh, I just saw her crumpled up there. And thank you, Lord, my first thought to say to the kids that were with me, pray. Just pray. And I just held her and I prayed. And she was good. She was all right. It all ended well, thank you, Lord. But I was thankful that my first thought was to pray and that they could see that. And I believe that comes out of the time spent with the Lord, because I knew where my help came from. You know, I needed him. We needed him then. And so if the thinking comes out in our actions, just like our thoughts become words, our words become actions, and our actions become our habits. Proverbs 23 says, 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." As he thinks in his heart, so he is. What would be that image if you thought about your thoughts? What would be the picture of yourself in thinking about your thoughts? God has given us weapons of our warfare to pull down thoughts that would exalt themselves above God. And it's his word, his blood, and his name. He's not left you unable to stand against those thoughts that would like to come in, whether it be just to tell you nobody else is good and you're the only one that has wisdom, or whether you're the only, you know, you just don't measure up. The enemy will take us whatever direction we lean toward. Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's not feeling like we're good enough. So just beware. Be alert. Peter, 2 Peter, whatever it is, says be aware that we have an enemy that goes around and wants to deceive us, wants to lie to us. Let him not be able to do that in our thoughts. I think of the 12 spies, the 12 Israelite spies. When God had told the Israelites to go in and possess the land, take it, it's yours. I'm giving it to you. And the Israelites sent out 12 spies to look over the land that they were to take. And when they came back, 10 of those spies said, oh, there's giants in the land. We can't possibly defeat them. We can't do that. There were 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, who said, we are well able. God says to take the land. We are well able. Who did they listen to? The 10. The 10 that were negative. And just know that there are going to be negative people around you that say, you can't do that. You're not good enough at that. Your family never did that. They only want to discourage you. And the Bible says that when those spies came back and the 10 voiced their negativism and said they couldn't take it, the whole Israelite camp wept all night. Those voices convinced those people, the whole camp, that they could not take that land. God had promised that land, but they now, because of the 10 spies, were convinced they couldn't. People will try to speak that God's word is not true. It's not for you, and it is. So beware. Beware that our thoughts aren't always the kind of thoughts that we want to think. And if we're aware of that for ourselves, how much more aware we can be for our children? Because the enemy is, he's not fair. He doesn't care what age our kids are. He'll start young telling them that they can't do things, that they're different, that, you know, whatever works, or he'll puff them up so that they think they know more than their parents. He's out there ready to deceive. And so we can help them with scripture. When you see them leaning in a negative direction, wherever it's going, find a scripture that gives the truth of that situation. You can do all things to Christ who strengthens you. He will give you the strength. You can share with them scripture to put in their minds so they can be thinking good thoughts, positive thoughts, the God kind of thoughts. God's word is true. Anything that disagrees with God's word is not good for our thinking. We should be thinking things like, God loves me unconditionally. I will not live in fear. God meets all my needs abundantly. I'm more than a conqueror. And let's see what grace thing he wants to give us now. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus. Now, wow, that's a lot. I'm here and I'm raised up. Seated with Christ, how can that be? What thought am I going to grab hold of? It's so easy to say I'm here. And we are here, but spiritually, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And all that is ours. And it says God has seated us with him. In Christ, we are safe and secure from every enemy and every power. That's a huge, high thought. But that is true. That is true. How are we doing on time? Wow, there's a lot to say about thoughts, and I want you to think about thoughts like if somebody came up to your porch with bags in their hands and you hardly knew them, you didn't even know them at all, because we're going to have fleeting thoughts that we don't know where they come from. Well, I've had that. And they say, I want to move in here with you. What would you say? You would say, I don't know you, no, I don't have, you're not going to come live with me. Well, that's what we need to do with thoughts that are not godly thoughts. I know I went through a time where I got really anxious. My dad was very critically ill, and different things were going on in my life. My daughter and her kids were in Young Life Ministry, so they were moving up to Alaska, and just a lot of things. And I remember becoming very anxious, I guess would be the word for it. I had never known anxiety. People talked about anxiety and everything. I don't, is this like anxiety or is that like? I knew what anxiety was like. I mean, all of a sudden, I felt like I couldn't move. I just didn't look forward to the day. I didn't know if I could get through the day. And I remember I got in the habit really started this habit thinking, oh gosh, I don't want to be on medication. I want to enjoy my days. This is so, I didn't understand it at all. It was just so different than I ever thought or felt. And as I repeated those scriptures, as I put it in my heart and started receiving that in my thoughts as truth, I didn't need to be fearful. I didn't need to be anxious. I heard those words about God never leaving me or forsaking me. And things, I don't know, I can't pinpoint the day, but all of a sudden it was like, I looked back on that and thought, oh, I'm so glad. I don't even remember how that felt. But I remember just not liking it one bit, just feeling how, you know, it feels to feel anxious that it's not good. And that habit of being with God and speaking His word into my ears, even us repeating it out loud, helps us receive the truth of that word. So our thoughts are very important. Now we're going to move on to our words, and we already talked. So we're going to set our mind on things we're thinking about. We need to renew our mind according to His word, and we need to gird up our mind and know what we're thinking. Here's what Joyce Meyer, I don't know if any of you listen to Joyce Meyer, but she's one of my favorite speakers. And she says, I wholeheartedly believe our thoughts lead us, charting the course for our lives and pointing us in certain directions that ultimately determine our destination in life. Our thoughts cause us to have certain attitudes and perspectives. They affect our relationships. They determine how productive we'll be personally and professionally, and they greatly influence the overall quality of our lives. We absolutely must understand the power of our thoughts. The next one is life and death in the tongue. We already talked about Proverbs 18:21. When we speak God's word, we create an atmosphere in life. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I have a couple little bloopers from a church bulletin on how our words can get us in trouble, and maybe it's time for a couple of those. This afternoon, there will be a meeting in the south and north end of the church, and children will be baptized at both ends. Our words can get us in trouble. The pastor will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, Break Forth into Joy. You know, just legitimate words used in legitimate ways to say the wrong things. So our words are important. And so we need to be listening to our words. Again, they're triggers for fear or joy or sadness, despair, life. Some of us speak words to ourselves. You know, that's a part of that thought thing. We're speaking words to ourselves. Betty had a habit of speaking words to herself. Listen to her habit. Betty had tried to quit smoking for years and years. She had good intentions and she did her best, but she just couldn't seem to break the habit. She was always saying, I just don't have what it takes. It's too hard for me. I'll never break this addiction. She even told her friends, if I ever do quit smoking, I know I will gain so much weight. She was constantly speaking negative words over her life, and this went on for years. One day, somebody encouraged Betty to change what she was saying, to call the things that are not as if they already were. She didn't know any better, so she just started saying, I don't like to smoke. I can't stand the taste of nicotine. And when I do quit smoking, I'm not going to gain one bit of weight. She said that day after day, month after month. She said she'd say it when she was sitting there smoking a cigarette, enjoying it. Yet she'd say out of her mouth, I can't stand the smoke. I can't stand this nicotine. She wasn't talking about the way she was. She was talking about the way she wanted to be. She did that month after month, and then one day, she woke up and lit up a cigarette, and it tasted differently, slightly bitter. Before long, the tastes were worse and worse, and eventually the cigarettes tasted so bad that she couldn't stand the taste anymore, and she was able to lay them down and never pick them up again. She changed the way she was thinking. She changed the words of her mouth, and the way we think and the words of our mouth will set up strongholds in our life for good or bad. A stronghold is a place that's fortified, that the wall goes around it. You know, that's pretty secure. And we can have it for either good or bad. Just like Betty, we can either choose the negative or the positive. And so we want to be thinking of our words and choosing them, those words that go over and over in our minds, wisely. So I'm just going to go through a couple and just read a couple things that I've written here that we didn't cover earlier in words. Some we did. Any man who controls his mouth is literally protecting his own life. Proverbs 13:3. We're protecting our own minds when we watch our words. Right words can turn an angry man into a friend, and wrong words can turn a friend into an enemy. Proverbs 15:1. That it's kind of a paraphrase on what the verse says. It says it straightforward. Right words breathe life into everything around you. Your personal happiness is influenced by the words that come out of your mouth. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. Right words are as important as water on the earth and the sustaining of human life. Men fail because of the words they speak. That's Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare of his soul. Wow. I think it's time for one of those grace things, because I've been, this is important stuff, but it can be heavy stuff if we think that it's all up to us. But we have to know that God will help us with our words, will help us with our thoughts. Pleasant words are the sweetest sound on earth. Pleasant as honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. That's all we're going to do about words, but hopefully it's triggered something in you that as you word, use your words, days that you think a little bit more. Is that life that I'm speaking? Because I know we all want to speak life. Life to our own life, life to our children's life, life to our spouse's life. The next thing that is a good habit is walking in integrity. Walking in integrity. Are the children who follow people that walk in integrity. Our children, we're modeling. They're watching. And it's important that we're people that are honest and responsible and people of integrity. We want to be excellent people. Not only are our children watching us, but the world is watching us too. People of integrity take responsibility for their life, for their actions. They keep their commitments. They do what they say they're going to do, and they walk the talk. If you're a person of integrity, you're committed to being responsible, dependable, and you're steadfast, and you're dedicated. People of integrity take responsibility to pay their bills on time. They're good stewards of what God has blessed them with. They care for the less fortunate. They take care of themselves. They take care of their family. When there's a job to be done, they do it. And I know that's our hope for each one. I mean, that's our hope as Christians, that we are people of excellence. We're people of integrity. And again, it's important in your family life that you're not just saying one thing and then doing another. Because nobody picks that up faster than our kids when we're saying, act this way, and then we don't act that way. Or don't act that way, and then we act that way. I thought that was Daniel speaking earlier when I came about growing up and maturing, and how we don't get married at 5 years old because we don't have the maturity, we don't have the integrity to do that. So from glory to glory, he's changing us. And hopefully we can see that in our life, how he changes us from glory to glory. I'm thankful he does. He doesn't leave us where he begins with us. We grow. And when we're born again, it's not like God puts that seed of all that good stuff in us, love, joy, peace, but it has to grow as we grow with him. It's not full grown immediately. So we're changing. We're pressing on. We're modeling. We want to be responsible people. And then lastly, but not leastly, that is again says, the righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. What a good promise. Good promise. This one I slipped in there because we're going to talk about this tomorrow. How we can have our children, our daughters, be as pillars in the palace, and our youth be like plants that are full grown. And that doesn't mean in stature, but spiritually speaking, it's somebody that's alive and well and pure and righteous. And that's what God has for our families. That's what He wants for our families. And we're going to talk about raising extraordinary children tomorrow, speaking love language and unconditional love and all that kind of good stuff. But today, we're going to end, because I know you're anxious to get out on the boats and have a lot of time. I would be. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. This is a good habit to be in the habit of doing. And again, human nature, a lot of times we gravitate towards the negative. But the more we're thankful, the more we're grateful to God, the less negative, less and less we'll find ourselves going in that negative mode. God says it's important to have grateful hearts. The Israelites' journey to the Promised Land was really, I haven't researched this, but I've heard it several times, was only 11-day journey. Took them 40 years because, I believe, they were grumbling. God was transforming them. He had to get them to a place where they trusted Him, where they gave Him thanks, where they praised Him. But how often we heard them grumbling, even wanting to go back to Egypt. So, be having a thankful heart really like jumpstarts us. It gets us ahead. It puts us on that road to our destiny when we have thankful hearts. I know you've probably experienced that. I know I have. When I've been in that negative frame, it's like nothing goes right, and I can't see God's purposes, and I can't see His plan. And, you know, but on the other hand, even in the midst of difficult times, God will use this. He uses all things together for good for those who love God. We just went kind of through a difficult thing as a family, and you could look at the negative and you could say, oh, God's not even working in this. I don't know what's going on. We're praying, we're confessing, we're believing. But we try to stay really holding on, grabbing hold of those promises and keeping positive, even though everything we saw looked negative. But I got to tell you, it's turned around and things are really doing well right now. So I'm giving praise to God that we were able to grab hold of His word and keep looking to Him and being thankful and saying, God, I believe You're working. I know You're working. You will use this for Your good. And then to see Him come through like that, it has just renewed again my thinking on always being thankful, even in the midst of difficult things. We will have difficult days. There will be difficult seasons. But if we can remember to watch our thoughts, watch our words, be people of integrity, He will move us places that we can't think or imagine. In our life, in our children's lives, God, in Romans 1:21, it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. When we don't give thanks, when we find ourselves just yelling the ungrateful, just taking the easy road, the lazy road, grumbling, being negative, I believe it darkens our heart. The enemy uses that to darken our heart. So if you don't get anything out of the rest of today, my time, I hope you just remember that being grateful, being thankful is a good thing. It's one of the best habits we can form. If it's getting up every morning and saying, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If that's, you know, all we do, we'll be well on our way to all that He wants us to be. Let God be praised and His enemies be scattered. God inhabits the praises of His people. Whenever we start praising, He is there to help. Let's wasn't a, again, a heavy message of, I'm just so excited to be asked to do this, and it's been, these things I have learned over time and still learning need to be reminded of them often. So I hope in some way it's been helpful for you, but again, Jesus wants to bless you with all kinds of good stuff. And that's what I hope you go away from today. And I just turned to this one. Jesus, this little book is 101 ways to think Jesus has done for you. And it says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners, and he took them. The good news for us today is that when we feel like an outcast, we know that he sees us and reaches out for us, and as we experience his compassion, he gives us his eyes to notice the outcast. Blesses us so we can be a blessing. Let's just thank the Lord. God, thank you. Thank you for these people, these dear, dear people, and their families, Lord. I do ask blessing upon them, God, and I pray that you take what you want them to get from this message today, and that would be all that they would remember, Lord, because it is you. It is you that works in us all the good. And we thank you that you never leave us. You never forsake us. And you do want good things for us. So may it be so, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory, for you are the glory.